Let us begin this service by singing number 235. 235. Lord, my petition heed, now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. I cry to thee. Number 235. We first read to you the law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, facing the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Thus far. Further, we will read to you from God's holy word, the Gospel of Matthew, the 7th chapter, the first part, Matthew 7. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, that it may please thee to place us in this morning hour of this Sabbath day, very distinction of so many other ones. Thy hand brought us together in this place of worship, that our hearts were filled with deep impression of the majesty of the Most High God, and that we receive the Spirit of grace and supplication merited by Christ to receive freedom and liberty to come unto thee and to thy throne of grace for mercy, for light, for understanding, for all that we need in this Sabbath day, where thy hand brought us together to this place of worship, that it may please thee, out of free and sovereign grace, because there are no reasons in us at all, and there shall never come any reason in us too, because in ourselves condemnable and rejectable till the last minute and till the last second that we hear in this world, but view us with all our needs and wants in thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary for his people, who arose from the dead and is sitting at the right hand of his Father as that great intercessor, and to pray for them all the time for the applying of his merits to the hearts of thy dear children, that in this morning and in this Sabbath day in our midst, and where thy people is gathered round about thy word, that it bears fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold to the honor of thy precious name, also in the mission fields and amongst that Jewish nation. Lord, that thy kingdom come in our heart and in our midst. Remember children and grandchildren. Oh, teach them where they are young to bow their knees before thee, and bind them at the throne of grace. The world passes away with all the lust thereof, but those that do the will of the Lord that remain and abide is forever. Lord, bless thy word in this Sabbath day, that it be opened by the Holy Spirit in Christ. Made it easy for thy servants and also for him who is called to bring thy word in the midst of the congregation, unable in ourselves to do it. Thou knowest how poor and empty that we are in ourselves. But Lord, anoint us with thy Holy Spirit, and give Aaron's and hers amongst us. The needs and wants are great and manifold, also of that mother who was operated, and father that is brought in the hospital for observation. We commend them in all their needs and wants for soul and body to the throne of grace. A daughter who was last Sunday not sitting here in the church, is laying now unconscious for several days already in the hospital on account of that serious accident. Remember her, bring her to, give her back to the parents if it can please thee, and sanctify all the warnings and admonition to their heart. Boys yesterday evening who were also in accident of outshirts, one came home, the other one is still in the hospital. They were sitting last Sunday also here in our midst with their father and their mother, and it is a wonder that they are still with that other boy in the land of living where we have heard what have taken place. Oh Lord, be with them and with the prodigal son, bring him to himself, and remember all of us in thy condescending mercy. The time is short, soon it is eternity, and then the question that is, shall we, can we meet our Lord, can we meet him in righteousness and in peace? Oh, have mercy with all of us, with the widows, orphans and widows, with the boys in the service, with all those that cannot gather with us in this Sabbath day, in this place of worship. Supply the needs and the wants, Lord, which are so great and manifold. Cast us not away out of thy sight. Righteously thou can do it, but view us in Christ, in his blood and righteousness. Forgive our sins and come in our heart and midst with that blessed Spirit, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 151. O God, be merciful to me, for men will constant hate, would fain my ruin see. My many enemies against me proudly fight, to overwhelm my soul, they watch from morn to night. Number 151. Thank you. Beloved congregation, I ask your attention this morning for the consideration of the 46th Lord's Day, question 120. Why has Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? That immediately, in the very beginning of our prayer, he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer, namely, that God has become our Father in Christ and will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. Thus far. We have a congregation this morning and subject not so easy. That means it must well be different, but there is about this subject so much confusion. And of course, it is so necessary that we receive in our life such wisdom and understanding to read what our fathers had written down in our catechism. It is necessary, I hope, that I can bring it to your attention what really the contents is of this question and this answer. There are two things this morning especially what I hope to explain to you. And that is, in the first place, that our catechism said that a childly reverence for and confidence in God, that they are the foundation of our prayer. And that is something that needs some explanation. Because you all know that Christ only, no one else, that he is our only foundation. And now, in this catechism, it said that a childly reverence for and confidence in God are the foundation of our prayer. Now the question is not that our fathers are wrong and that we are wrong in saying that Christ is the only foundation. But what is now the real meaning that childlike fear and that confidence in God that is mentioned here as the ground of our prayer? To a right understanding of it, only a few words to explain to you that in the fall of Adam, that we have made the separation between the Lord and us. That from our side, that gulf that there is, that it never can be taken away on the side of men, but that it now has pleased the Lord to come with his beloved Son Jesus Christ, and with his offer and with his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, he was now placed in between. That means now through Christ, God is reconciled with a sinner. And therefore, a sinner can be reconciled with God. And now there is a way opened that the Lord can have communion with us, and that we also have fellowship with him. And that is especially through prayer. That fellowship with God that is exercised in prayer, that is exercised in thanksgiving, and that is also exercised in the calling upon the Most High God. In those three words, prayer, gratitude or thanksgiving, and calling upon the name of the Lord, there you have the whole religion. That you have the whole exercising of communion with God. Therefore, God's people that had a special life, that had a new life, that had a life that revealed himself in a need to have communion with the Lord. You read in the Word of God, I shall give you an example. You read in the Bible about Esther, that queen. You read about the circumstances in which that woman came with her people. And then Mordecai, he commanded her to go to the king. But she said, I was not with the king for 30 days. She was troubled about it. And the law was in those days that if anybody would come to the king, and he was not asked to come, then they could kill him. But of course, you know, finally, that woman, she went. And then that king, he took his scepter, and she touched that scepter with her hands. And she had the privilege to come to the king. And what a blessing that was for her to have an opportunity to pour out her heart before that king. Now, in the life of God's people, there is a throne of grace opened. But now to come to that throne with freedom and with liberty, that is something else that must be given us and that can be given us by Christ. Because in ourselves there shall be never any freedom or liberty. Thus, it have to come always from Christ. Therefore, the Apostle Paul, he wrote in Colossians 3, verse 11, that Christ is all and in all. But now, to come to the throne of grace, with that freedom and with that liberty, how is that now possible? How is that possible? Then there must in our heart be a childlike fear. And there must be a confidence and a trusting in the Lord. You know how that it is by nature with men. How that it is by nature with all of men. As far as we are brought up in the religion, we shall not start to eat without prayer. If we would do it, then I think we have soon the police with us. It is our duty. It behooves all men to fear the Lord. If you are in a factory of another public place and there is so many people that is looking to you, then we need also something to not deny it. Of course, there's many people that walks with the Bible under their arm and that have freedom enough. But I will not talk about that this morning. No. From ourselves, then we need something to come out for our principle. Really. And to a certain extent, it is a blessing if we are privileged to do it. But now there is something else involved. And that is this. Now to approach the Lord, to come to his throne, then it is necessary that we have immediately the deep impressions in our heart of the majesty of the Most High God. And even in the life of God's people, that is so many times so far gone. Sometime when it is the end of prayer, then we don't know sometime where we have prayed for. It is so many times, in other words, a custom, a habit. But that it is as with day, as with Abraham, when he was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah, then he said, however, that I am dust and ashes. That man that was under the lively impressions or immediately impressions of the majesty of the Lord, he said at the end of Genesis 18, he said, be not angry to me, Lord, that I again ask for them. Not be angry to me. Why? That man that knew himself and that realized what he was, and that is now something, people, oh, we cannot buy that with all the money of the world. We cannot take that in our own strength. We cannot give that ourselves. That must be given unto us. And of course, if we have grace in our heart, then there is time and again a need in our soul that the Lord will give that unto us. Because we shall time and again, it cannot be different, we shall time and again condemn ourselves in regard to prayer. There is another thing. We can well do a nice prayer, people. And we can do that when we have a good mind. A nice prayer. But a right prayer, that then we must have the spirit of grace and supplication. And there is another thing. The Lord, he said in his word, let your words be few. Be few. When Peter was on the water, then he could not pray for 50 minutes or for a half hour. Oh no. He said, Lord, save me. And did he ever a prayer out of his heart? And in truth and uprightly, then it was on the water. And when Jonah was under the water, then it was the best time of his whole life. You know why? Before that he came under the water, then he was against the will of God. He would not go to Nineveh. And when he afterwards came out of the water, then he was murmuring about what the Lord had done in sparing this city. There's the best place that is under the water, or not? Not that we desire it, but we need so much tribulations in our life. And we need so much crosses in our life, people, to need the Lord. And that we always know ourselves, to condemn ourselves, that childlike fear is in our heart. Not to afraid of the Lord, no. Because the Lord yet promises people in Christ and through Christ that he shall never be wroth unto them, and that his kindness shall be ever over them, in Isaiah 54. But it shall like fear the same as that it shall come to his father. But in prevalence then that is given unto us, and not only in shall like fear that you can hear that in prayer, a freedom and a liberty, but also a firmness in our heart that the Lord is the Almighty God who can supply our needs and our wants, and not only can apply our needs and wants, but that he is willing to do that. I have read in this morning to you Matthew 7, and then the Lord, he said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Thus, that there is a confidence in regard to the revelation of the Lord in our heart. And what is now the meaning of that? Christ, he said in John 1, no one have ever seen the Lord, but the only begotten who is in the bosom of his Father, he had revealed him unto us. And what was now his revelation? I shall shortly this morning say only two things. That they know him as an almighty God. Almighty. That there is nothing too wonderful for him. He gave the daughter of Jairus back to that father and mother, right? He can give your boy back to you. And he can give that daughter back to those parents who are sitting there now day and night by their bed and in that intensive care without any mind. But the Lord is almighty to give him back. And that is outwardly, but that is inwardly too. Oh, people, we want in our life everything. You believe that? There is not one creature in the world so poor and so empty as we are. If we come to the realization of it in our heart and in our life, then we must say, Lord, what I am, what I am. Empty hands, people, empty hearts, empty heads. It is all emptiness. But now to believe that the Lord is almighty, and to believe that the Lord is all sufficient, gold and silver and the cattle upon 1,000 hills that belongs to him. He speaks and it is, and he commands and it stands firm. And the Lord, he is righteous. And what means that he is righteous? That he had to cast us away out of his sight. But now, where Christ had merited a righteousness, an everlasting and eternal righteousness, that on the basis of that righteousness, that the Lord is obliged to his people to give him everything what they need for time and for eternity. And that the Lord is merciful that the Lord is gracious, that the Lord is long-suffering, forbearance, that the Lord is good to all men, that he opened his hand, and that he satisfied every living thing. And confidence in the Lord, even that we see no way out, and that the devil said inside, that shall be never opened a way for you. It is a hopeless case, but still, trusting in the Lord and believing that he is standing above everything, standing above all the circumstances in our life and in the life of our families. What impossible is with men, that is possible with the Lord. And now that childlike fear and that confidence in the Lord, as you read here in that catechism, that confidence in God, that we come unto him and to believe that he is and a rewarder is of those that come unto him and that fear him in truth and in uprightness. That is one thing. Thus, Christ is the only ground. But to come unto the Lord, then we need a childlike fear and a confidence in God. But now it comes. Namely, that God is become our Father in Christ. About that point, I will say something this morning to you. You know, Luther, one of our greatest reformers, he calls the Lord's Prayer the greatest martyr. The greatest martyr. And of course, there is many people that use the Lord's Prayer at the table. They learn the children to pray that. And now, to use that prayer, that is not the worst thing, but the worst thing that is the misusing of that prayer. You know, the Lord had given that prayer in Matthew 6. In Matthew 6 and in Luke 11. In Matthew 6, then he had given a form of prayer in regard to the contents of which we have to pray. Not that it is necessary to use that always, no, but it is a form that the Lord has given us to instruct us that in our prayers, this honor of the Lord and the spiritual things have always to be on the foreground. In Luke 11, that the disciples, they said, Lord, teach us to pray as John had taught his disciples to pray. The disciples, they were aware and consciousness that we need a true prayer that is acceptable in the sight of the Lord. And then the Lord had given that prayer to his disciples. But of course, there is so many people that use that prayer wrongfully. They use that too much and wrongfully. They take that upon their lips without any thinking whether that they can pray it. There is another thing, God's people that use it too little. And not always, even when they use it, that they do it in the right way. Now, you have some catechism in your houses, of course, who were translated the last years. And the one, he said in his catechism that it is not permitted to pray it. The other one, we give freedom. There was always under our old writers a difference about the using of the Lord's Prayer. Now the question that is, can we pray that? May we pray it? And the question that is also in which regard that we pray it. Huntington, he had also in his works a piece about our Father which art in heaven. And then there was somebody that said to him, Whitefield, he instructed people to pray the Lord's Prayer. But then the answer of Huntington that was, maybe you know it well, his answer that was, I have respect for Whitefield. He respected him as a man of God. But he said, I have also respect for Aaron. You know Aaron, eh? The brother of Moses. Yeah. He said, I have also respect for Aaron, but that means not that I have desire to bow for that golden calf that he had made. It is so necessary, people, young people especially, that you read our old writers. Oh, we have such a treasure in them. Really. That have more value than other things in the world. Because by reading it and it pleased the Lord to bless it to our hearts. Oh, then it will be as a blessing for our soul, really. So much wisdom that the Lord had given to that people. But now, of course, you know, I first will explain to you in what sense that the word Father is mentioned in the Bible. First, by virtue of creation. By virtue of creation. You find that in Malachi 2, verse 10, have we not all one Father has not one God created us. Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Then the second word, Father, in the Bible, that is, by virtue of preservation and providence. In Job 10, verse 12, and Matthew 5, verse 45. Then by virtue of regeneration, Ephesians 2, verse 1, and James 1, verse 18. Then there is no another meaning of the word Father in the Bible, and that is by virtue of grace's adoption. In Isaiah 60, 56, and 61, and 62, and Ephesians 2, verse 19, and Revelation 3, verse 12. But then the last meaning of the word Father, that is, by virtue of the close relation and union through a spiritual marriage with the Lord Jesus Christ, that people become the bride of the bride to the bridegroom, and also God as their Father. Because Christ, he is mentioned Father in Isaiah 9, the everlasting Father. Dus if you will take it in your mind now, I shall repeat it to you. In what senses that the word Father comes in the Bible? By creation, preservation, regeneration, adoption, and close relation or union with Christ. Now by virtue of creation, then he is our Father. By virtue of creation. But by virtue of regeneration, that is only by the grace of God. And even among God's children, they are bashful to mention the name of Father. Why? The Father can never deny that he is Father. That remains. But our right as a child, we can lose it. The prodigal son, he said, I am not worthy to be called your child. And when the Lord, I shall try to explain it very simple to you, because that's necessary too. But if now the Lord come in our life, then first of all, we learn the Lord as our yutz. As our yutz. And the devil as our father. John 8, verse 44. You are out of the father of the devil, and you will do the desire of your father. And if the Lord comfort a sinner, then he made us honest. Then he made us honest. And then we have, well, in regeneration, the evidences of our child, that we are a child, in what? In hungering and thirsting after God, and in seeking his people. That are two evidences that we are a child of God. But now to mention the Father name, that is something else. And to mention the name of Father, that is what you find in Romans 8, verse 15, that they have received the spirit of adoption and that they may cry, Abba, Father. That is on the side of men. That means this. In John 16, there the Lord Jesus, he said to his disciples, I say not that I shall pray the Father for you, because the Father himself love you. And now a child that is a day old, of an hour old, that is the same air as a boy of 20 years old. Right? But that child that lay in that cradle don't know that it is an heir. That what that child can do, that is cry and cry time and again. Cannot talk, cannot understand. That takes all a while before that it comes so far. Thus now we must grow up in grace, grow up in grace. People, and that is the fault in the most of the churches now, they are not talking about the different steps in the way of grace. They are not talking about it. Converted and you remain converted. But when the Lord started with us, then he started to teach us and to explain the things to us. And what then? Then we become more and more conscious what is necessary to live in comfort and to die in peace. And what is now necessary? To reconcile with God and restored into communion and fellowship with him. Our sin must be forgiven. We must receive a right to eternal life. And then after that, receiving the spirit of adoption. And now God's people that is aware of that, the people that come to the knowledge of it, what is lacking in the life. And why is the Lord discovering that for them? That they shall make haste for their life's sake. That they by day and by night cry to the Lord for more light, for more grace, and for the establishing in the way of grace. That is what is necessary for their people. And that is, their heart goes out for that by day and by night to experience what we now sing now this morning, and then only a few words before we close, the tender love a father has for all his children dear. Such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 278, the first stanza. I shall say not many words more this morning. I have tried this morning with the help of the Lord to make clear to you what the meaning is that our Father speaks about a childlike fear and a confidence in the Lord as the ground of our prayer. I could also say the freedom in our prayer. That is when there is a life in the fear of the Lord. Let I say it nog maybe easier to understand for you. The closer that our life is with the Lord, the more freedom and liberty that we have to his throne and to his heart. And then finally, what is now necessary to come to the knowledge of self, to the knowledge of God, to the knowledge of Christ, and to the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and to the knowledge of the adoption of children. And what I have preached in this morning, that this congregation, that we may realize what is necessary, shall it be well for eternity. That is the meaning of it. That is the whole purpose of it. Our life that is in shadow, you have heard it already. And time and again we heard it. It is all the time. Then this one, and then that one, and so many, so many, as in a moment, also one of our former teachers of our Plymouth School died on the road in Nebraska, 29 years old. And what shall happen with me, what shall happen with you? We must always be ready, people. Always be ready. And by nature, we are never ready. We are never ready. Therefore, I hope that the instructions in this morning over, about this sermon, that the Lord sanctify it to our hearts. Congregation, so many times, and also in this morning I declare unto you, there have to happen something between our cradle and our grave that is from the Lord, and the Lord is so merciful to spare us, to give us the privilege to come under his word and under his testimony, to declare unto us from heaven that he had no desire in the death of a sinner. We are children of the devil, but he will become our Father in Christ, and that for time and for eternity. And that is the greatest riches that ever can be given unto us people. Oh, that the Spirit may sanctify the few words of this morning to our poor soul for the great and ever-ending eternity. The world can never satisfy us. The world is a great disappointment, nothing else than that. But Christ, he said, who findeth me, findeth life, and obtain mercy from the Lord. And if the principle of that work is in our heart, oh, that we cannot remain by the point and the place where the Lord has brought us. There is, our old people say years ago, there is more, there is more. And now to stretch ourselves out to what is before. And that is also the forgiveness of our sins. And that is also the adoption of children. That God become not only our God, but that he becomes our Father. and that our life is in the fear of the Lord, far from the world and far from sin, but in his presence, as you read of Enoch, that he walked with the Lord. Noah, he walked with the Lord. And there were other people in the Word of God who had such a close life with him. And what a blessing that we in everything trust in him, that we in everything ask for advice of him, and that he had promised us not only for this life, but also soon when we have to die, mine eye shall be upon you, and that we taste time and again in the midst of all the bitterness of life and of sin, but that we taste that sweet fatherly love in our heart that is as a porch of heaven for all God's children, where they shall receive that forever, and that in perfectness. Amen. Lord, bless the few words spoken in this morning hour, sanctified by thy Spirit to our heart. Be further with the congregation and with us together in this Sabbath day. Lord, that the warmth of the day, that it not so much hinder us also from coming up in this afternoon and evening under the preaching and reading of the eternal word. Supply the needs and the wants, and remember us in mercy, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 126. God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present aid. Number 126. Thank you. pray this morning for two boys of Mr. and Mrs. Jean Paul, who were last night in an accident. The second and the third boy, the second boy is now in the hospital in Zeeland. And in the name of Mrs. Polderman, I will thank the congregation for all the tokens of love when she was 90 years old last Tuesday. Receive now the blessing of the Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.